Oh, let's come back to this non-linear least square problem. We have the function we want to minimize. We have written its gradient and the Hessian matrix as functions of the Jacobian of this capital R. The vector function whose components are the residuals, and the agent of the residuals. Okay. We do know that Newton methods is the fastest. Okay. Among the methods we have seen for unconstrained optimization. So one idea could be to replicate Newton's methods. Okay. When you find Newton direction, you solve this system. At the current iterator xk, you solve this system here. There's a minus. Okay. The Hessian of f at xk times t must be equal to minus the gradient. This is Newton's system, okay? Which gives you Newton direction. We know that if this Hessian matrix is positive definite at xk, then the direction that solves this system is indeed a descent direction. Here we have the gradient, here we have the actions, we could plug them in and find formulas. Okay? What is that you have to pay in Newton method is that you need to compute second order derivatives. You need to compute the action. Okay? And here, the computation of the actions you are required are this one. The actions of all the residual functions. Okay? And generally, in applications, M is very big. Okay? It's a dimension of a sample, for instance. And X of you are unknown. So generally, in many applications, M is much greater than M. Okay? It's not always the case, but in a wide range of applications, this is true. You may have a few variables. I will show you applications with a couple, just, but hundreds of residual functions. Okay. So. Computing this is pretty expensive, okay? Because you must compute all of them, not just for a function f, for all the residual functions. So, a nice idea would be to avoid this computation. One way, the easiest way to do, is to forget about these terms, okay? If you forget about this term, this is not the action. Okay? It's somehow an approximation of the action. Okay? You are erasing all these terms. Okay? And well, you are throwing away from the action all the second order terms. Is it reasonable? Well, this is reasonable and should work well when this term here dominates these terms here. I mean, when these are small with respect to this. Okay? And when is this likely to happen? Well, when the residuals are small, all the RJs are small, all the Hessian matrices have a small norm, Okay, and the asymmetrics are a small norm when the functions are somehow flat. Okay, they don't change fast. Okay, when you have a function, for instance, that grows this way, in this area, second order derivatives should be small. Okay, so erasing these terms is meaningful when receiver functions are small or the Hessian matrices are small in the sense that there are some of them, in some norm they are small. Okay? But the basic idea of the method I'm going to show you is exactly, let's forget about these terms and approximate the Hessian with this expression here. Okay? And this is known as the Gauss-Newton method, or somehow also the damped Newton method. Allow me some further notations. Let's call the Jacobian of capital R, Xk is a matrix, let's just call it Jk. Okay? Just to simplify the notation. Let's call capital R computed at Xk, let's call it, this is a vector, so the small is better, Rk. Okay? And this is all that we have here. So, if I rewrite Newton's system with this approximation, erasing the second order terms, what do I get? Here is the Hessian, which is Jk transpose Jk, this term here. I'm deleting this term here, so times V equals to minus the gradient, and the gradient is the Jacobian times R, so it is Jk times Rk. Okay.
Can we keep the capital letter of R?
Yeah, I should have used the
computing with the result.
Yeah, because maybe in some lecture note I should say small r, but is a vector. It's the vector. It's not
the so each element of that vector is r more r.
Should be one you should use a completely different name, another letter. But okay. For the time being, when you compute that vector at Rk, we call it, at Xk, sorry, we call it Rk. Okay, and from now on we just have this. So, notation are meaningfully simplified. So this is our approximation of the Newton system. And the basic idea is, let's compute the direction, let's take a step along this direction, and we got to a new point, so we update all the matrix and we iterate. Does it work? Because we know that Newton method is the same method only under some particular assumptions. Okay. The weird thing is that in this case, with this approximation, the direction here that solves this system is always in the same direction. Okay? That is what I'm going to prove you now. Let's call dk the solution of this system of equations. Okay? We find a solution, we find a direction. I'm going to show you that this is a descent direction. What do I need to prove you?
I need to prove that the gradient of f at xk times dk is negative.
Okay? So, the gradient is jk times jkr. So this is jkr is the gradient times dk. Now, we know that dk solves this system. Dk solves this system means that jkrk is equal to minus this quantity.
So I can put here minus jk transpose jk dk times dk. Since it is a solution of this, it means that
if it solves this, it means exactly this, and so here I can replace this quantity with minus this quantity here. Okay? Simple substitution. Now I can rewrite this just exploiting the first position. This is minus dk transpose gk transpose gk jk times dk. Okay? I just applied the transpose sign to the parentheses. Okay? So that you get this part here, and then you get this. Notice here you have jk dk, and here you have jk dk. So this is minus jk dk transpose times itself. So it means that this is minus the norm of jk dk squared. Okay? And this quantity here is always less or equal than zero.
Because this is always greater or equal than zero. Okay?
But it could be zero. If it is zero, this is not. If it is not zero, this is a descent direction. Okay? If it is zero, it is not a descent direction. But if this is zero,
it means this vector is zero, it means this quantity is zero, it means this is zero. Okay? So, I'll write it for you here. Take it equals zero. Implies by the fact that dk solves the system, it implies also that jkrk is zero, but jkrk is the gradient of f. This is the gradient of f at xk. So if this quantity is zero, then the gradient of f is zero, so we are at the stationary point and we are done. Okay? So, unless we are at a stationary point, so unless this is zero, dk solved in the Gauss-Newton system is a descent direction. Okay? Because this is negative if the gradient of f at xk is not zero.
So if we are not at the stationary point, we have a descent direction. And essentially we are done. All the method is here because I have the same direction, so I take a step along this direction, I get to a new point, I update the matrices, I will get a new system, I solve once again, I find a new direction, and so on. Okay? So, this step, since we were doing Newton, the step would have been unitary. Okay? We are doing a gradient method, and we are taking a step satisfying, for instance, Wolf conditions or Amico conditions. Okay? In the sense that, well, we can show that if you take a unitary step, you cannot prove convergence. Okay? But if you take a step which satisfies the Amico condition or the Wolf conditions, then we can prove convergence. Okay? So, if you want to somehow to summarize the method works as follows. You choose some starting point. You set the iteration counter to zero. If the gradient of S at xk, which is jk rk, is zero, then you stop. Else, you compute dk which solves the Newton, the Gauss-Newton system, you compute TK satisfying, let's say the world conditions, but you could also say Amico through Amico procedure. I mean, the techniques we know that work for gradient methods, you move from xk to xk plus 1 with a step tk along tk, you update the iterate counter, and you iterate. This falls within the class of gradient-type methods. The news here, the thing that is new here is the way you compute the direction. Okay. Classical gradient method is minus the gradient. Newton method is given multiplying minus the pre-multiplying minus the gradient with the inverse of the Hessian matrix. So you can take a direction which is not becoming orthogonal to minus the gradient. Here, instead, you have a precise way to compute it that is solving this system. This linear system. Okay. And I want you to focus for a moment on this system here. Check this system. What's the shape of this system? The shape is the transpose of a matrix times the matrix times the vector of your unknowns equals to minus the matrix times the vector. Does it sound familiar to you? Yeah. It has exactly the same shape of the normal equations. It is indeed a system of normal equations. This is a system of normal equations corresponding to which linear system? Oh, it was A transpose A, X equal minus A transpose B, so there should be a transpose somewhere. Did I? Yes.
And we have found everything here as a transpose.
I forget it everywhere.
I forgot to put it everywhere, so you should put it everywhere. So there is a transpose. Okay?
And the system was this one. So the system here is J. K D equal, no sorry, that's not a minus, equal minus RK. Or if we want to rewrite, we can do plus equal to. Here we are. We have a linear system, and we are going to solve the corresponding normal equations. How? So, you already know a way to compute this. Okay? You spent lectures with Professor Bevilacqua for solving linear least squares, which amounts to solving a system of normal equations. Okay, so here you have, you can solve this by QR decomposition, you can solve it by singular value decomposition, you can solve it by conjugate gradient method, and so on. You have the tools to solve this. Okay? Here it means that at each iteration we are solving a linear least square problem. Okay? To solve this non-linear least square problem, we are solving a sequence of linear least square problems. Okay? And by the way, which is the least square problem we are solving?
The linear least square problem we are solving is, since these are the questions, we imagine the norm of this vector. Sorry, here there. No, no. So the linear least square we are solving at each iteration is this one.
So you see that the connection between the two is strong, and really, through this approach, you cannot solve this and then deduce the other as a particular, the algorithm for the other, for the linear problem, is a particular case of this. Because for solving this, you need the linear case. Okay? Well, there are other techniques which do not rely on this kind of approach, so those could be used also for the linear case. Here, in the linear case, actually, it would amount to solving this just once, because this would become the linear equation, the normal equations of the problem, if you plug in as residuals those from the linear case. Okay, what you get here are the normal equations of the linear problem. So step three is asking you to solve the problem. So this is not very meaningful as an approach. So here we have everything. We have gradient coupled with Newton, and we have linear least squares, so we have matrix decompositions, conjugate gradient. We have everything we have seen up to now, almost, okay, inside this algorithm. To tell you the truth, this algorithm is nice for lectures, but it is not more, it is not used widely any longer into programs. So if you go, for instance, and use MATLAB, okay, the default algorithm is another, okay, not this one. If you want to use this Gauss-Newton technique, you should ask the program to run it. Okay, but from teaching point of view, it's very nice because it sums up all this stuff together. Actually, we still need to prove convergence. Why? Because okay, I showed you that this is a gradient type method. Okay, gradient type method have assumptions, okay, for the convergence. And we are not checking one, which is that the angle between the direction and the gradient is not becoming orthogonal. It's not becoming 90 degrees, sorry. That the gradient and the direction you're choosing are not becoming orthogonal. Okay? And I'm going to give you the result. But first I want just to focus a few seconds more on this problem here. Okay. Because we deduced it from this idea of approximating Newton, but actually, you can get to it also in another way. So, suppose you want to calculate f in your current point plus a direction d. Okay? This can, okay, this is 1 half, the sum all over j of rj squared computed in xk plus d. Okay? Now, let's recall Taylor. Rj in this point can be approximated with Rj in xk plus its gradient at xk times d. Okay?
This is Taylor, by Taylor.
Now you can approximate each of these terms with the square of these terms here. Okay? This is roughly this, so you plug this here, and what you get is 1/2 the sum all over all j's of ij xj plus this product. Okay. What I'm claiming is that this is nothing else than 1/2 of this quantity here, the square of the norm of jkd plus rk. Okay. Let's see. This is okay. We are summing over j's. So. Let's check this component. This is component j of this vector here. And this is component j of this vector here, because when you make the scalar products of, sorry, there should be a transpose, no. When you make the product of this matrix times d, and you take component j, you get exactly this one, okay? Because you are doing this times vector d this is nothing else that this quantity here. Component j of this vector, and this is component j of this vector. You take the square and you sum all over the components, so you are getting the square of the norm of the vector. Okay. So if you were starting from Taylor, you were saying that dk is the direction that minimizes the Taylor approximation, first order approximation. Okay. Because it's this problem here. Which amounts to this system of normalizations. Okay? So another way to look at this step here is we are choosing the direction which minimizes this quantity here. Okay? And this sounds well, because we are doing a gradient type method, so indeed we are exploiting somehow Taylor's first order formula. Is it clear? So, very last thing, I need to give you the convergence result, okay? And the assumption under which the angle between the gradient and the Gauss-Newton direction of the method does not approach 90 degrees. They do not become almost orthogonal. And the conditions are the following. The sublevel set must be compact. So, theorem. Let's suppose
the, let's say, Gauss-Newton algorithm generates an infinite sequence xk. The Gauss-Newton method is this one, okay? Now, if the sublevel set of F are compact, okay, let's say we consider the starting point x0, we say that the set of vectors in Rn such that F at x is less or equal than F at x0, where F is our F, okay? One half the sum of the square of the reciprocal. Is compact. Then any cluster point of any cluster point, let's say x bar of the sequence xk, such that the Jacobian matrix of capital R at x bar has full rank. So it's a matrix of maximum rank. Is a stationary point of F. Here there is something we have not met up to now. That is, the result depends on a property of the cluster point. Okay? This fact that the ranks of the Jacobian matrix has to be maximum depends on the cluster point. We know that the full sequences we are having, the set method lies inside this set. This set is compact, means that cluster points exist. Okay? But, to get convergence to a stationary point of the cluster point, the cluster point must satisfy an additional assumption. Okay? Without the additional assumption, it may happen that the gradient and the direction become almost orthogonal. Okay? I'm not giving you the proof. The proof is in my lecture notes. Full rank here means that somehow guarantees you the property, which is the one you have in the proof, and the property is that this is true for all vectors for some positive gamma. Okay. Since you have this property here, you have this property also when xk is approaching x bar, and it's merely a technical point from numerical analysis that you get this property.
When you have this property, you can prove easily, you can prove easily that the angle is bounded away from 90 degrees, just showing that the cosine of the angle cannot become arbitrarily close to zero. Okay? The proof, you prove that the cosine of the angle is always greater or equal than a positive constant. Okay? But I don't want you to spend time on both at the blackboard and at home checking the details of this proof. The proof, you must remember this, the proof needs to show that the gradient and the Gauss-Newton direction do not become orthogonal. And to do this, you need both this compactness assumption, which is a reasonable assumption, plus an assumption which depends on the cluster point. Okay? So that it's extremely hard to be checked a priori. So this is it. On Tuesday, we will face some applications in different fields, and we will check some of the properties of this approach. In particular, we will check whether approximating the Hessian matrix in the way we did works well or not. Okay? We will check the order of magnitude of the part we keep and of the terms that we delete. Okay, so have a nice weekend, and we are going to meet on Tuesday morning.